Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Zygenkov have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Hull, shoots, scores! Bobby Hull!
Dudeau trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bork and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men. Cutting for the net, he's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of him, and then a shot! Desjardins following the play, and he misses the short shot. Here he is again! Scores!
Hockey fans, you're listening to the hard-kicking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL Breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined, by, as always, by George Kurtz of RotoExperts.com. We're bringing you all the on- and off-ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed on the top of your respective leagues with the fantasy reports, including the IR, goalie, line updates, and waiver wire recommendations. Today is, of course, Monday, December 21st. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to all our hockey fans out there. Obviously, the NHL is on its three-day Christmas break, but we are not, because there's always a lot to talk about. Going to have just the most abbreviated fantasy reports today for kind of obvious reasons, because of the way the week is structured. Most of the teams, obviously, off. Well, not most teams, all the teams off the next few days. But even when we come back, only two teams with three games this week, everybody else with just two games this week, which leads me to my first question, George, of this abbreviated fantasy week. Now, we know a lot of times in fantasy hockey leagues, most of the setup for whether you're in a points league, whether you're in a head-to-head league, the majority of the time, short weeks are usually linked to a companion week because it's a short week and it's unfair, but it's sort of unwieldy. But there are a minority of leagues out there that do just play the week in and of itself. So, George, quick question to start off, and this is really one of the two things I'm really going to talk about when it comes to the fans report today. Is there any sort of strategies to keep in mind when it comes to a short week, or is it really just, you know what, swallow it, however it's going to play out, just deal with it. You don't want to get too cute here and mess up your team for the long haul. So is there anything I'm overlooking here, or is it just the advice to sort of stand pat and play it out as it is? George?
Well, I think the first thing you have to realize is are you playing a short week, or are you combining this week and next week? You know, that's what the when you use a companion week, that's generally what a lot of leagues will do. They'll combine the Christmas week and the New Year's week into one big 11-day week. If you ask me which one I prefer, I really don't care. As long as I know the rules and I know what's going on, I'll play either one. I think I prefer the bigger week. You have less chance of unluckiness. But then again, the way the NHL set it up this week, you already mentioned it. No teams play one game. Two teams play three games. Everyone else is playing two. So it's pretty even. You know, I guess once again, if you have Arizona or Vegas, you get that extra game. All right, but it's really, listen, how many Arizona players do we really care about? Vegas is a little different, but I would have been okay with the with the short week this week because of that. Now, as far as setting lineups, well, that also, does your lineup still have to be set by 7 o'clock tonight, or does your league allow you to wait till Thursday, first game Thursday, which I assume is 7 o'clock Eastern time? Assuming you can wait till Thursday, then nothing really changes. You'll have all the information by then. You know, the goalie report, which I'll be doing a little bit, is not that large, which for obvious reasons. You know, even the newer injuries look like the guys will play by then. But if you can set it by Thursday, yeah, nothing really changes. Starting your best players. Obviously, Vegas players are probably going to go more than anybody else because you're going to want that extra game. And you're going to play it pretty much straightforward. If you have to set your lineup tonight, that's a little different. I would think an overwhelming majority of leagues, you don't have to set it tonight. But, hey, you could have some home leagues in which they do have to be set tonight. I'm not taking any chances. You know, anybody who's questionable, you know, or you don't know, they're on the bench. There's no reason for me to take that chance. Short week, why do I want to miss two games? So I'll do that. If you're playing a longer week, then obviously you're looking for players. Now, I haven't looked at next week's schedule, so I don't know if there are any teams. I don't know if Vegas happens to play four games next week now and they get seven, while the teams might get five or four. You know, I haven't looked at that. But if that's the case, then you don't want to start those players. You're going to want to be very careful with your goalies this week. But when I say very careful about the goalies this week, I mean, every team's playing two, and I'm going to break it down for you later. but there's only about, I think, five or six teams that have back-to-back games. You know, those are ones where, okay, your goalie might only get one. Everyone else is probably, the starter's going to play both games. So it's going to be very difficult to find a backup this week if you need one. Next week could be different. So what I mean by that is, well, if you're combining with 2 weeks, then you don't need to panic about this week so much. You're really looking ahead to next week to find a goalie. That's the goal you're going to want. Because, as I said, this week, looking real quick, it is what? One, two, three, four, five, six teams that have back-to-back games. So in which case, I expect the backup might play. You know, everybody else, when it's 25 teams, it's a pretty good chance the starter's going to go both. But if you're playing an 11-day week, you don't really care about this week. You're looking at next week's schedule. That's the week you're going to focus on the backup goaltender. You know, look for the back-to-back games there, the rest there. So I think that's like a strategy I would use as well. But for the most part, Scott, don't overthink it.
Yeah, that was sort of generally my sense here, although actually you bring up a lot of good points, both whether you're having the combined week or the short week. It definitely gives a lot of our listeners, you know, sort of a focus and what and a little to-do, not-to-do kind of thing, you know, to keep in mind. And on top of what you already said, when you look at that schedule, George, it's really a Thursday-Saturday schedule. There's only three teams, or not three teams, there's three games playing on Friday. There's one game playing on Sunday. So, you know, the whole idea is that if you are the short week rather than the attached week and a half, 11-day week, you know, I really do like the idea of not overthinking it, not panicking, just kind of riding it out, you know, with the way it is. Just a super abbreviated IR. I'm not even really going to do a lines update. I'll certainly do lines updates on Friday's show. But just sort of like a heads up in terms of the IR. Now, going into the Christmas break, it's really not surprising. There's not too much new updated information, but there are a bunch of notable players to keep an eye on that should be coming back, if not on Thursday when the whole NHL returns, pretty soon after, within a few games, starting in Anaheim, you know, Raquel and Fowler. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if both these players were not back the first game, but I think in the first two or three games, at least one, if not both of them, have a good shot towards returning to the lineup. Similar situation with DeBrusco. Do I think there's a better chance that he'll be ready to go coming out of the Christmas break? All last week, he was practicing in a non-contact jersey, so as long as there's not any setbacks there, it looks like he's got a good shot to get back in the lineup pretty much right away. Similar in Colorado with Zadorov. I know he's not the most impactful fantasy hockey player, but if you are, you know, if you have a player in the back of your lineup that is sort of a one-category player, he is kind of a really good guy for hits category, so he's notable in that regard. Bustad, who we really thought wasn't coming back to, you know, until after Christmas break, it does look like that's a possibility. There was some teasing that there was a chance that he could come back a game or two early before the Christmas break. Obviously, it didn't happen. So do expect him to come back as well. Nashville, I know we've been teased with P.K. Subban for the better part of 2 weeks, but he was practicing all week on that extra pair, defensive pair, in practice. And it is believed that there's a very good chance he'll be back right after the Christmas break. No guarantee, just with the way it's played out. You know, I wouldn't sort of count on it, but it does look likely. And there's even a little bit of hope for Arvidsson. I don't hold too much hope. I really think, you know, I do think he'll be back before New Year's, but I don't think he's going to be back right after Christmas break. But he has been practicing with the team and skating regularly, although he's recovering from a broken thumb, so it really shouldn't be any reason why at this point. You know, he's about 6.5-7 weeks into that 6 to 8 week, you know, diagnosis when he first went down with that thumb injury. So it does look like, again, not even if it doesn't come back right after the break, pretty soon thereafter. Similar situation with Barchi and his concussion, where he did have that setback a couple of weeks ago, but he has been progressing nicely. Now, this is a situation where I do think it's going to be a good two or three games after the Christmas break, but I do think it'll be before New Year's that he is back. And then finally in Vegas with Pacioretty, I think you're looking at a situation where it's probably about a 3 out of 4 chance he's back coming right out of the Christmas break and should slot right back into the second line with newly returned, I mean, he's been back 6-7 games, Paul Stastny. And that's really the only guy that if I'm in a weak league and I do have to set my lineup tonight and I'm looking to get the extra game, you know, and you are just that short week rather than the extended 11-day week in fantasy hockey, Stastny is really sort of my only beginning of the week recommendation for a skater. The Vegas Golden Knights Center is only 23% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues. But as George said, if you're looking to get that extra game, you have a hole at center or you have a utility spot that you're looking to fill and you want to get that extra game, especially for a Vegas team that has been playing much better the last 3 or 4 weeks, he is the guy that I go with if I knew he was in a weekly league and had to set my let up tonight. So let's turn it over to the goalie report. George, what do you have to tell us coming into the Christmas break? Is there any particular good news or expected good news, bad news when it comes to goaltenders, especially with all those guys that are out with injuries? George, what do you got?
All right. As for the goalie report, Aiden Hill was sent back down to the AHL, hasn't been playing as well lately for the Coyotes. Kemper for a while here. Do I think we'll see Hill again? I do. But certainly maybe not until after the new year. Colorado, Varlamov was out with an illness. Nothing major here. He should be good to go when Colorado picks up again after the break. They did call up Pavel Francouz, but they already sent him back down to the AHL, a sign that, once again, odds are Varlamov good to go. Craig Anderson, upper body injury, day-to-day. Not expected to be serious. He was the goalie I was talking about earlier that I think he comes back and he plays. Ottawa is one of those teams that plays back-to-back games. When they come back, they play Friday against the Islanders, Saturday against Washington. You would think that maybe they'll give him the extra day, and he goes Saturday against Washington, which leaves the backup Mike McKenna against the Islanders. That would be my guess. But either way, he's not going to play both. So something to keep an eye on there. Once again, they sent the backup, Marcus Hogberg, down to the AHL. A good sign that odds are Craig Anderson would be good to go after the break. So nothing to really worry about there. No new updates on Corey Schneider as far as the abdominal injury and when he will return. Kincaid didn't have a great start the other day. They got a small Wedgwood there. He's all right. New Jersey Devil is probably wondering what's going on with Schneider, how he fell off the table, the planet so quickly in this play here, but really no new information going on there. Crawford says he'll need time to recover from his concussion for the Chicago Blackhawks. We've discussed this a million times now with concussions. No one knows. Crawford missed a big chunk of last season. It seemed to take them forever to call it a concussion. Was it a concussion? Was it vertigo? Was it a combination of both? Another head injury? Whatever it might be last year. But he might be the last player you wanted to see this happen to in the NHL to get another one. Because I know first thought went through my mind is, oh, God, is this more month to month rather than week to week or day to day? Certainly a good concern for Crawford there, as I do wonder if he'll be out long term. As he said, he needs time. Your definition of time, my definition of time, could be different from everybody's. No idea when Corey Crawford returns.
Yeah, I certainly went into a little bit of that panic mode, as we discussed briefly when a injury first happened, when it came to Crawford, for all the reasons that you said, and just sort of playing things safe. Whether you are part of the Blackhawks organization, whether you're a fan rooting for the team and just managing your expectations, or you're a fantasy owner and you have Crawford, or Cam Ward for that matter, it's certainly, I think you sort of have to take the cautious approach in your head is really the safe way and the smartest way to go about it. Either way, I think we all are hoping for a quick and healthy recovery for Corey Crawford, no matter what it means, whether it means, hey, the too many concussions, time for me to hang him up, which I certainly hope doesn't happen. For him, because I really feel that in his own career, he's really coming into his own the last couple of years. I mean, sure, he won a Stanley Cup with this, Blackhawks team, but early in his career, and really, let's be honest, the team was something in front of him. They were really more carrying him than he was carrying them, as opposed to last year before the concussion happened, where he was clearly carrying that team, and it was the only thing that really was sort of making them a legitimate playoff team until he went down. So either way, we send our best wishes to Corey Crawford and his recovery. All right, George, last question I really want to talk about or ask you about here in, which sort of fits into our fans' reports, really has to do just with the suspension that came down for Erik Karlsson. And let me repeat that. Erik Karlsson got suspended, a superstar. And yes, I'm sort of being a little tongue-in-cheek here, a little bit sarcastic. But, we have good reason for it because as George has sort of, harped on a little bit over the years, over the decade plus, 14 years that we've been doing the show, it's really hard not to notice how superstars a lot of times are playing by another set of rules. And, again, from a business standpoint, we kind of get it, but this is a game. This is a game that's supposed to have integrity. So I don't know if the suspension is really that controversial, George. In fact, I don't know if it's controversial at all, but, it is notable to me that such a big name got a suspension, especially a guy who doesn't have a history. He's only been fined once in over 665 games playing in the NHL. So, you know, he's just, I think we can safely assume he's a clean player by and large, you know. Quick question to you, George, about, you know, what you thought of suspension. You know, is it as I characterize it in your mind that this is clearly, you know, a suspendable act? And does this mean anything? Mean anything to you? You know, any more than usual, the fact that it is such a name player, and that maybe the NHL is coming around in terms of it being more consistent with these things. Does that ring true with you at all? Or is it, again, as I think I said, you know, characterized the last time we talked about this subject of suspension, am I getting ahead of myself? Do you need to see a lot more before you start trusting the NHL in terms of its integrity and consistency in terms of discipline and suspension? George, Carlson, suspension, what do you think?
Well, I guess to answer your last question, yeah, I would need to see more. Right now it's an isolated incident as far as the NHL suspending a top player. I'm not talking about the hit itself. I'm talking about the NHL suspending a top player. It's an isolated incident. Okay, we've seen it now. What will happen the next time someone does something that's a name player? Will they do it again? You know, will they let them off the hook? You know, that's what I would wonder there. So, yeah, I think it's just a isolated for now, but a good sign the NHL did, right? I would certainly point it to that. That's a good sign that they did it. You knew right away. I mean, the Department of Player Safety tweeted out almost immediately after the game that they, he'd have a hearing. As soon as you heard that, well, the first thing that went through my mind was they didn't really specify in-person hearing or phone hearing. So that made me think, okay, he's going to get a couple of games. You know, now, you know, when you look at the hit, once again, a couple of years ago, this is a fine hit. You know, there's nothing wrong with this hit. You know, it's in today's NHL. You know, you can see the defender didn't, the puck carrier doesn't see Carlson coming. You know, Carlson doesn't look like the defender is hunched over, he's skating. And, you know, if you skate, you're not skating straight up and down. You're hunched over a little bit. And he's hunched over playing the puck. And Carlson is hitting him with the shoulder. But he catches him in the head. And in today's game, the onus is on the hitter not to make contact with the head. It's really that simple. You know, I don't think this is a dirty play. I don't. You know, like I said, this a couple of years ago, this is a legal hit. You know, but now in this day and age of concussions and everything else and wanting to play it really, really safe, you can't. You know, if you're going to hit somebody, you better make sure you keep it low. You know, and I'm looking at it over and over again now. You know, like I said, I don't see it as being egregious at all. I don't think it's dirty. You know, I just think it's a today's game. You can't do it. It's really that simple for me. You just cannot do it in today's game. And it's that's all I have to say about it. In some ways, you know, Scott, since he got kicked out of the game here, and a good part of this hit is on the shoulder / back. You know, it's not direct to the head. He doesn't leave his skates. When I was watching this game, it was on Saturday afternoon, and the first thing I thought of, you know, he got kicked out. That might be enough. You know, but I think if the NHL, and I doubt they were doing this, because I also thought, okay, is the NHL going to try and send a message now? You know, are they going to try and send a message? You know, and by suspending a top player to let people know, okay, you know, we got one. Don't make us come after you. You know, that went through my mind as well. You know, see if they were going to do that. And so I'm curious. I just hope, listen, the bottom line is this. I don't have a problem with the suspension. The NHL has been doing it over and over again. But I really hope that you and I aren't talking a week to next month because another top player does the same damn thing. And because it's maybe more of a top player, you know, it's even a bigger star than Carlson. You know, let's just say for the sake of argument, let's say it's Ovechkin. You know, and then he does it, same exact player, maybe even a little worse, and he doesn't get suspended. I really hope that you and I aren't discussing this. I hope this is a sign of things to come. Where fine, if you're going to call it the same for everybody. I don't want one set of rules for great players. One set of rules for good players, and one set of rules for, you know, your average everyday player. You know, and then another set of rules for you, of course, for your goons. You know, I don't want that. You know, I don't think anybody wants that. You know, so that's what I'm just hoping comes out of it here, that, you know, they're making a statement now. Okay, they're making a statement. You know, we suspended Carlson. You know, but I'll say it again. I wonder if Carlson would have been thrown out of the game. You know, if the referees would have given him a 5-minute major, if there would be no suspension here. Because we've seen that a lot, right? You've seen it. Oh, no, they took care of it in game. That penalty is enough. You know, I do wonder if they would have thrown him out of the game if he wouldn't have been suspended. The NHL seems to take that into account, which I think is crazy. I think it's idiotic. I don't think that matters. If it's a suspension will hit, it doesn't matter if the refs gave him a penalty or not. You know, if I always think that's silly. I don't think it should matter if the other player got hurt or not. Why is that? How does that make any sense? You know, if Carlton hits one player and he doesn't get hurt, but he hits another player the exact same way, and the guy, whatever, has a concussion, then you get suspended more for that. Well, what if one guy's built like a brick in a brick house, and the other guy's just built like fine china? That never made any sense to me that it matters if the other player gets hurt or not. That's silly. I think maybe you should get suspended more if the other player gets hurt, but the suspension should still remain the same. But like I said, I wonder all these things go through my head. Like I said, my guess is this. He got, what, 2 games? I don't think it would have been more than one if he would have gotten thrown out of this game. If they gave him a 5-minute major game misconduct, I don't think it would have been more than one. And maybe not at all. I think that's the way the NHL works things. They would have counted that game as part of the suspension, and I just think that's silly.
Everything you said, George, I loved it, and I loved not just what you said, but how you framed it. You know, I really haven't liked that sort of, we're going to eject you from the game, so we're not going to suspend you thing. I think they handled it right. I don't think he should have been ejected for the game, but I do like the 2-game suspension, just because, as you said, this is the world we live in the world of concussions, and similar, and what I've been sort of asking for and preaching a little bit the last couple of years. You know what, if this is the age that we're in, and obviously it is, and for good reason, you not only do you have to be consistent, but you have to be responsible for your hit to the head, just like we've been trying to make players responsible for the kick, for their stick. Hey, I understand that it was an innocent big follow-through with your slap shot and your stick sort of whipped in a wide arc, but you hit somebody in the head. We know it wasn't intentional. It was a complete accident. The guy happened to be there, but you simply have to be responsible for your stick. It's that simple, whether it's sort of a cross-check that sort of rides up the shoulder and ends up sort of getting a guy in the neck or in the head. Okay, it was an accident. That's going to happen occasionally, especially if you're a bigger guy checking a smaller guy, but the simple matter is you have to be responsible for your stick. You have to be responsible for your head hit. I think you described it perfectly. And the fact he was going for a full body check. He was going for the shoulder. It glanced off the shoulder, and the main point of contact ended up being the head. Case closed. I don't care what the name is on the back of your jersey. I thought you were actually, for just a second there, George, when you were making the Ovechkin comparison, I actually thought you were going the opposite of the meaning that you said. But yes, in a couple of weeks from now, Ovechkin or Crosby or somebody alike does the same thing, I better see the same reaction from the league with the same discipline. So nice job on that, George. Let's turn our attention to our power ranking conversation, pick that conversation up. We've talked the last couple of shows about the top five that we had, which was pretty identical. We just had a couple of teams that were slightly tweaked away from each other. So if you want to go back and listen to those shows, we're talking about we already talked about Tampa Bay, Winnipeg, Nashville, Toronto, and Washington. And the next group of teams I want to talk about today, George, are for the most part in the next tier down for both of us, although, again, might be in a little bit of a different order, generally speaking. And I want to talk about Boston, Pittsburgh, San Jose, and Vegas. And I'm lumping them together because last couple of years, okay, yes, Vegas, it was their first year last year. By and large, last couple of years, all four of these teams have been good. And they're all pretty good this year, but they've had some warts this year so far. And I'm just wondering, are they sort of in the top half, the top 10? I know Boston slips right outside of our top 10 at 12 for both of us. But the other three teams are in our top 10. I have San Jose and Pittsburgh 6-7. You have San Jose, Pittsburgh 7-8. You know, Vegas is 10 for you. Vegas is 9 for me. And as I said, both of us have Boston at 10. You know, so I'm just sort of wondering how bad these warts are at the end of the day. Are they making it this high in our rankings because there's bigger questions for the rest of the teams in the league, you know, outside of those top-tier teams that we've talked about? So, I mean, are we talking about these teams just finding their stride and they'll be fine the rest of the year, or do they have certain warts about them that make you really question how good that they could be, that they have no chance of maybe challenging those top five teams we've already talked about the last five shows. So obviously we're going to take them out one at a time, George, but all four of those teams. Let's start with the Pittsburgh Penguins, because Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously perennial cup contender, generally speaking, in the age of Crosby and Malkin. You know, I think we've all generally felt that way, unless you're a Pittsburgh Penguin hater. I'm not sure how you can sort of spin it any other way, that this team has the potential to be a cup contender every year. But, George, there's, you know, been a few people that I've been seeing saying, both, you know, from fans to good bloggers to pundits themselves, that this team, although good and debatably very good, might be the worst versions of the Penguins in the last 4 or 5 years. Now, obviously, they won 2 cups, so, you know, if you're not, you know, running high octane this year, of course you're not going to be as good as a cup team. But when you look at this Pittsburgh Penguin team, George, are you saying to yourself, hey, it's like the Blackhawks when they're in their heyday a few years ago, that they're sort of sleepwalking through the first half of the season, they'll find their stride sometime around the All-Star break, and then they'll be competing, if not for first place, second place, by the end of March? So, George, what do you see when you see the Pittsburgh Penguins? Do you see a team that can morph itself into a cup contender, or do you have some legitimate concerns that maybe it's the end of the road for this team being that elite? George?
Well, I certainly don't think it's the end of the road. And you said at some point in the season, will they find to hit their stride, prove they're a legitimate cup contender? Well, have they already hit it? Last 10, 7-2-1. It looks to me like they've already hit it. It just took them a little while to get there, and now they're on their way. So I'm not really all that worried about Pittsburgh. I mean, look at it this way. Yeah, you're a fan of you're a fan player, whatever, executive on one of these other teams. Are you looking forward to playing the Penguins? No, you're not. You may not be quite as afraid of them as you once were, but you're not afraid. You're not looking forward to it. Oh, I can't wait to go face Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel. That'll be a blast. No, you're not. Do they have warts? Sure. I think my biggest concern here is probably more off the ice than on the ice. Yeah, you're hearing about a lot of dissension. Malkin, Kessel, and the coach. Right? Not getting along with Sullivan. So he's hearing some problems there. You know, and this came out to a head last week when Pascal Dupuis came out and pretty much said it, that there's a lot of screaming and yelling at the former player, and then pretty much Sullivan dressed him down. How could you? You know, it was a whole big thing here. So, and we've heard this before, that Kessel can be a very, very difficult player to coach. You know, and that can be true of a lot of great players. They do their own thing on the ice. They don't follow a system. They do sort of what they feel is the right thing while they're out there. So I probably worry about that more than anything else. Because offensively, they should be fine, right? Defensively, they look like they have enough. Do I think they need more? Sure. You know, Letang, once again, back healthy, great. But after that, it gets really questionable. So I think they certainly could use another defense, and maybe Justin Schultz, when he comes back, if he's ever be that player he was 2 years ago, would certainly help. But outside of that, Mata never really became the player we thought. Jack Johnson, you and I questioned that signing when it happened. I forget which top player was his friend that really boasted for him. Might have been Crosby, actually, and got him on the team. So I think they have issues there. Goaltending looks to be solid. You know, Casey DeSmith has proven he can handle down the starting role when Murray was out. So the fact that Murray will probably get hurt again at some point the season doesn't bother me as much. I said, this is not the team they were or once were, but this is not an afterthought team either. This is not a team you're dying to go up against here. Just too much star power.
You know, by and large, you know, I think, you know, when you take a sort of general overview with this, I think you're right. You know, it's not like I expect this team to fall out of the playoff race. You know, especially in the East, where, you know, literally half the teams are just not that good. Even the sort of, like, quote-unquote, good-bad teams, like I would sort of characterize, like, the Rangers and maybe even Montreal, although I think Montreal might be actually inching above that level. I don't see any of these teams, you know, even if Carolina finds the stride they had the first 3 weeks of the season, you know, they're not threatening Pittsburgh. You know, they're not knocking them out. but I'm a little less confident. Although I hear very much what you're saying, I actually like the, you know, the points that you're bringing about that, you know, that dissension, especially with a guy like Kessel, who can be a little bit, not a malcontent, but can be a little bit of that diva that sort of followed him around. And at times I thought that was fair, and I thought it was unfair. I'm a little less comfortable with that defense. I mean, it's, you know, basically with this, for the most part, with the group that they have had success before, and they've done well in the playoffs, and it's really a matter of them sort of tightening up and really playing much more the way Sullivan wants and insists on the play, which they just haven't done. I mean, I wouldn't consider it, like, embarrassingly sloppy, but this defense, I just don't really like it. Like I said, do I think they're capable of playing better, and do I think likely they would? You know, is this a situation where it is a veteran team, and, you know, we know they're going to be in the playoffs, so, that, you know, the Blackhawks comparison that I made, I think that applies here somewhat. But, you know, the goaltending, yes, solid. I've definitely been impressed, as you sort of pointed out, about DeSmith and how well he's played. And granted, Murray has looked better since returning. In the three games since he's come back, he's given up 4 goals in 3 games. So that's, you know, pretty darn good, although you're playing, you know, really only one good team in Washington. You were playing L.A. and Carolina. So I don't know how impressed I am with that. I need to see more from that. But, George, even after those 3 goals in 4 games, he's still got a 340 goals against average and a 900 save percentage. Yes, obviously with those 3 games, that's, trending better. But, you know, I need to see a good, you know, solid 3 weeks of this before I'm saying, okay, he's back. Although there's all that point about injuries that you brought that has always sort of been his bugaboo through in his short career. So between the questions in goaltending and that defense, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. Again, I'm not sitting here and saying that they're not going to be a playoff team, but if this team doesn't notably improve over the course of the rest of the season, I'm not going to be surprised with a first-round exit. I mean, I would still expect them and probably, predict them to win that first round, pretty much whoever they play, you know, unless they sort of end up being a 4-seed, wild-card seed and end up playing, like, you know, a Tampa Bay or a Washington in the first round. Then it might be very well, early exit, even if they are playing better, you know. I also, for them to be a top-level team, and obviously neither of us has them as that elite-level team, you know, I think they need more work on the third line. Broussard, you know, who I've always liked. I've always thought he was a good, solid player even before he came to the Rangers and obviously after he left the Rangers. He just doesn't look like the same player that he was. I don't know if it's not being in the top six and that's a mental thing for him. I mean, last year, you know, when he got traded to Pittsburgh, it was fairly easy for me to dismiss the lack of productivity from that groin injury, you know, especially the time of the year they came back and that had happened, and then trying to push yourself to come back. Maybe you're not quite as healthy in the playoffs, and playoffs being the grind it is. You know, it's easy, at least for me, to sort of give him a pass on that. But I was definitely expecting more, especially in the beginning of the year when he was with sort of Kessel exclusively before they moved Kessel back up into the top six, you know, pretty regularly since those first couple of weeks, you know. And if that defense is a question, George, and, you know, maybe if you're like me and still have these questions about goaltending too, you need to have a top three lines like they did a few years ago when Bonino and Kessel and Hagelin were on that third line, and just sort of, it was just a ridiculously producing third line, you know, because it's got to make up. You need that. You need sort of that puck possession, you know, domination to make up for that weak defense, you know. So, I mean, again, am I panicking here? No. I like Sullivan a lot, and even with those rumors that you mentioned, again, I could sort of chalk it up to, okay, that really does happen a lot more than people talk about. But because it's sort of isolated incidents, generally speaking, and a player's never going to be completely happy with the coach all 82 games of the year and vice versa, you know, you're going to have those natural up and downs. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a real big problem. But when you pile it on top of everything else and put the cherry on top, it makes me worried. Ultimately, do I think this team is going to sort of find its stride and make me more confident and get these, not, you know, sort of get rid of these bugaboos? yes, as you already pointed out, they're 7-2-1 in the last 10. So obviously things aren't horrible here, and I'm not trying to paint it as horrible, you know. But, you know, for a team with the talent that it has, I feel like it should be threatening more seriously to be in our top five. And even though we don't have them much lower than our top five, I'm a little bit nervous for this team, which brings me to our next team in the San Jose Sharks. George, you know, from a fan perspective, from a rooting perspective, San Jose Sharks, ever since they came into their league, has kind of been my West Coast team. You know, if you're a regular listener of the show, you know, I'm a New York Ranger fan. You know, but, you know, so I've always really enjoyed this team for the most part, you know, and you look at their team, and again, this looks like a team that's pretty damn stacked, you know, and with this group, they have had success before, and although they have some age on this team, this isn't an ancient team, you know, but they, to me, even though that their record, I think it's 6-2-2 in their last 10, and they're in second place in their division, man, this team seems like a yo-yo to me, George. They win three in a row. They lose two or three in a row. And they look bad. Not horrible, but not very good when they lose. And they're not necessarily dominating when they do have those four or five-game win streaks. You know, so, George, you know, obviously it's the same question here. Good team. We'd both be shocked if they didn't make the playoffs and even have a better seed in the playoffs, possibly even threatened for the division title. But what makes me nervous here, or at least questioning to them, is the up-and-down nature of this team. It just seems – and that seems to be the most consistent thing of their season, is the up-and-down nature. When you look at the San Jose Sharks, do you have the same concerns? Again, not that they're necessarily, oh, this team's crashing and burning concerns, but I don't know how deep they can go in the playoffs concerns because of this. San Jose Sharks, George, what do you think?
Well, I don't think they've been quite as good as we expected them to be. But also, you know, when you point out everything, you make it sound like they're, oh, my God, this is not good. They're ninth overall in the league. They're fourth overall in the Western Conference. They're behind Winnipeg and Nashville, and no one would have picked them above those two. Those are the two best teams in the West, two of the best teams in the league. So really the only team in the West that we might have thought they would be ahead of would be the Calgary Flames. They're only 2 points behind the Flames. So I think it's more optics than everything else. That because, as you said, sometimes when they lose, they don't lose pretty. But really, I don't care. You know, I guess you wouldn't want to see more consistency. That'd be great. You know, to see that. But, I mean, I know from a fan perspective or from playing fantasy, I'd rather lose big than lose close. You know, lose big, okay, lost. Move on. You lose close, that's when you start to evaluate everything. Right? Oh, I just would have done this, I would have done that. You know, this didn't happen. I mean, we all do it. At least I do. I know when if I'm in my fantasy league and championship game or whatever, championship week, and I lose by a couple of points, you start reevaluating everything. Every move you could have made and every move you when you watched your players. Oh, my God, this guy only did deflect that puck in the net. I would have won. You know, the original shot was my guy. Oh, my God, if he would have made that save, I would have got the shutout. I would have won. You know, and I think that's what's coming down here. They just we don't like what we see. It's not pretty. But the Sharks are, sure, maybe they should be a couple slots higher. But as you said, they're 6-2 in their last 10. Maybe they're starting to figure it out. +9 goal differential is a little strange. I would have thought that would be probably 2.5 times better in the +25 range, somewhere around there. But I'm not going to kill the Sharks here. Do I think they're one of the best teams? No, I think they're a good team. I think they've made mistakes. I think you know one of the ones. I don't think they, what they're doing with Kane, I don't think that made a lot of sense. You know, you signed him because you played so well. Pavelski from last season really carried your team, him and Pavelski and Couture for that matter, and then you separated him in the beginning of the year. Then you signed Thornton, and we're giving him a bigger role than he should have gotten. I think they're starting to figure that out now, and I think it's half the reason why they're getting better. It's because Thornton really is now down to a third-line role. Kane is playing with Pavelski again on the second line. You know, and I think you're starting to see that work out. I think it's taken a little while for Carlson to get adjusted to playing with a new team. Once again, this is not a shock. We say this in all sports, and you and I have talked about this a million times. Players are human. He goes from Ottawa to San Jose. Now, granted, San Jose is not Los Angeles. It's not New York, Chicago, Boston, whatever. But still, you're going to a know, at American City, there's going to be more, a little bit more attention to you going to a team where you're not the star anymore. You know, Brent Burns is your equal. You know, Thornton is a Hall of Famer. You've got other good players there. It's not all about you. I think it's taken some of him some adjustment. He may be the kind of guy who, you know, I don't know his personality personally. You know, but maybe he's a little shy. Didn't really come in there, wasn't ready to be himself yet and take over. You know, so I think he'll get better. After the suspension, obviously, but he'll get better this season. And I think the whole team may take a little while to adjust around it, and maybe that's what they're seeing now. Once again, 6-2-2 the last 10 games. Do I think they have holes? Sure. I think they need more defense. I do. Even when Carlos comes back, I don't. Carlos and Burns, obviously, I think they need a more defensive defenseman. I like Vlasic, but they could use someone maybe a little bit better than Vlasic. I don't trust Martin Jones in net. I think he's a good goalie. Don't think he's great. You know, I think he can sometimes have a tendency to let up the easy one, the one that has to be stopped to be an elite goaltender. I think he does that more often than he should. But I think this is a good team, not great. And like I said, I think in the end, they're ninth overall in the league. Would it surprise you if they get up to 7-6? No. So they're a couple slots off where I think they should be. Would it surprise you if they end up finishing fourth? No. I have Nashville and Winnipeg as better teams. Calgary is playing better. You know, they play better from the beginning. And would it shock you if Calgary keeps it up? No. I might question their goalie situation, but it wouldn't shock me. So in the end, San Jose may be exactly where they're supposed to be, eighth or seventh overall. You know, they may not be quite the team we thought, but I don't think they're all that bad either. And I'm certainly not worried about them making the playoffs. And I also agree, I don't think they're going to be a team you want to play in the playoffs. You know, a big, heavy team that's going to try and weigh you down and has skill. But, in my mind, as far as playoffs are concerned, you look at the goaltender, I mean, it's very hard for me to think that Martin Jones is going to be that goal you can rely on game in, game out.
For me, stepping back, I mean, I intentionally kind of spun that a little bit more, you know, negatively, before throwing it to you than I actually personally believe, because I actually think you sort of broke that down perfectly for me. I kind of got it, you know, in the first, you know, couple of weeks of the season when they sort of tried it with Kane on that third line and they had Thornton on the top line. I thought it was the wrong thing to do, but I was like, all right. And actually in those first couple of weeks, you know, Kane did well on that third line with, Somalia and Donskoy, you know, but I do agree with you 100% that it was the right decision sort of move him back up on that top line with Pavelski and Donskoy that, you know, had so much success last year. And I'd sort of been, you know, preaching even in the summer, before even we had any idea what they were going to do with their line, to put Thornton on the third line. Dude, I love you. You are a clear first ballot Hall of Famer, but at this point in your career and with the other players you have to put in your top six, it seemed like an obvious move to me. So, you know, I sort of didn't like it, but, you know, but I like what they have now, you know, with the top nine. Would I maybe like to see them get the left wing for the third line to play with LeBanc and Thornton? That might be a slight upgrade on Sorensen. Sure, but that's sort of a nitpicky thing. I like the way that you sort of broke down the defense. You know, you got a lot of good guys there. I would like to add another, you know, more defensive guy. Ideally, somebody who will be a nice fit for Brent Burns. You know, because it seems like as good as Burns is and has been for the last few years, the last year and a half without Paul Martin seemed to be the perfect partner for him. But Paul Martin was getting old and it was time for him to go, you know, with all due respect, you know, and they haven't quite found that perfect partner again, you know, even if he's not like a great defenseman, even if he's not a legitimate top four defenseman, but just plays well with Burns. I think that's the, you know, the extra defenseman I would sort of focus on, you know, to get for this team. Sort of like, you know, Winnipeg with Sherratt. I look at Sherratt and he's a nice NHL defenseman. I think he's legitimately a third pair defenseman, but he's playing consistently in the top four and has been the last couple of years because he's the perfect fit for Butterfucan. So that's sort of the one tweak or the one sort of need. And I want to call it a glaring need because everything else you're about your breakdown, I completely agree with, even down to the goaltender. And Martin Jones, I like him, you know. And that first season, he was sort of lights out. But the last year and a half, he's come down to earth of being a very sort of middle-of-the-pack average goaltender. And if they are going to be a deep-run playoff team, he's got to sort of uptick a little bit. And or find that extra defenseman, whether it's the guy to play with Burns that I'm suggesting or just that extra defensive defenseman in general that you seem to be suggesting. I think we're both in agreement about that. But, you know, this is a good San Jose team. It's just a, it's just that lack of consistency, the sort of the up and downness that has sort of just made me slightly nervous about this team in terms of whether they're capable of being that top echelon team. But again, I think you framed it perfectly, George. They're ninth overall in the team now, in the league now. I think even if they sort of, quote unquote, hit their stride and